Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God, shed His grace on thee, and He crowned thy good with brotherhood of sea to shine.
Awesome, awesome. I hear that I was having a little bit of mic trouble earlier, so we'll see how it goes. If I have to call in, I can call in. I've got my phone right here, and I know how to do that. Isn't technology wonderful? Sometimes. All right. Hey, guys, we've got some sad news to impart, and it's not music-related. It's not someone in the industry. We have lost a major player in the world. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the royal consort, has died April 9th. I just look it up, and they just say he passed peacefully. They haven't released any cause of death or any details. But, you know, the dude was 99 years old. That's got to count for something. You know, it's, I hear he passed in his sleep and it was peaceful, and I'm assuming it was old age. Maybe I shouldn't make that assumption, but that's what I'm thinking. You know, but it's hard for me to be sad. I'm not a Brit. I don't live over there. I didn't know the royal family that well, but it's hard for me to be sad because he lived to be 99. What a run! You know, fantastic. Think of all the things he saw, all the things he did. He was, of course, in the military. I think all the princes of the royal family do that. Well, most of them. Maybe not all, but most. It's kind of a tradition, I guess. That's the feeling that I get over here. But he had such a good run. He had children. He had style. He did it right. You know, for coming up as a prince and marrying a queen, he was all together. He was altogether. He had a wonderful smile. He had a wonderful demeanor. He supported the queen incessantly. And I don't know. My impression is that he really had a wonderful life. And he had a good long run. Oh, my goodness sakes. He wasn't always in the best of health. You know, he had bouts here and there. In February of 2021, he had an infection. But evidently, that was cleared up. So that was not the cause of death as far as we know. It was just his time. It was just his time. And I imagine his family is feeling his death very poignantly. But us here in the U.S., we feel, well, from my end, I can only speak for myself. He had a good life. He had a long life. He did everything a person could possibly want to do. He made the world a better place as best he could, and he supported the queen as best he could. And I think that's really all anybody could have asked of him. You know? He did a good one. He did a good one. So we say goodbye and rest in peace, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. Enjoy your afterlife and rest from your hard labors. Okay, guys. That's what I've got. I just felt that he was such a prominent figure in the world that we needed to do a short memorial for him. We do it for musical people. I think we probably should do it for the Prince of Edinburgh as well. So we did. And I really do. I really, really honestly do feel at peace with his passing because he was 99 years old. It was just his time. It wasn't anything drastic. It wasn't any horrible illness. It was just his time. And God took him home. So now he's at rest. And maybe y'all will meet him one day when we all go home. Ain't that a thought, huh? Ain't that a thought? Cool. That'll be kind of awesome. Let's see, who else? Abraham Lincoln would be good. Yeah. Daniel Boone, Meriwether Lewis. There's so many people out of history. Oh, we can't forget Julius Caesar and Cleopatra. I mean, you know. How about Eric the Red? There would be an interesting dude. That would be something else. Charlemagne? I'd like to meet my ancestor from Charlemagne's day. Tristram Coffin. I'd like to see where my family started. You know what, guys? Someday, this is all going to be possible. You're going to be able to meet whom you've always wanted to meet and talk to them and see what they were like. They won't be the same as they were here because, of course, they were changed, just as we will be changed. But it will be very interesting to be able to say hi anyhow, you know. And I really want to meet and hug my grandpa again. I still miss my grandpa. Okay, I got to quit that or I'm going to cry. Okay. that stuff just gets to me. I can't talk about him too much. Anyway, first song. And I hear that I see that my mic is cutting out a bit here and there. We're going to try and make it through, but if it gets too bad, I'm going to call in to my show so that we won't have that problem. Until then, we're all right. Now, I've got another sadness to impart to everyone. We all heard about Shauna's brother, Scott, who was in the hospital, and they took him off life support. And now, see, I'm going to cry again. Good grief, Jennifer. You think life would have toughened you up a little bit better than this. Anyway, Scott died today. So we send prayers for Shauna and her family. And I love you, girl. I'm so sorry you're dealing with this loss, because I'm going to have to deal with it soon. And it's never easy. And when someone you love loses someone they love, that's hard. It's hard for the person that lost their loved one, and it's hard for the people that love them. Mm-hmm. So, okay, guys, I got to play a song, because I'm going to start just, the waterworks to go and I'm going to drown. So here we go, a song that John got me, Lynn Berry from 1965, 1, 2, 3. Down, feeling a little bit more under control. Maybe not feeling better, but feeling more under control. There's just, how do you explain like this? It's just, it's part of life. It's part of life, but it doesn't make it easier. So you got to deal with it. You got to get through it. You got to keep going, because as they say, life goes on. That doesn't mean it's not going to be hard for a while, because it is. It is part of life, but that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it's easy. So, hey, Shauna, we feel for you, girl, very, very much. So I was sitting here crying through that whole song. My face is, never mind. You know what it's like. But you got to just feel it. Be cranky. Be angry. It's okay. It happens. It's part of the grieving process. So, you know, I feel for you, honey. You know, it's okay. Just be a witch for a couple of days. Go for it. I give you permission. I'm not sure that's going to help anybody around you, but oh well. Anyway, I've gotten a few more tidbits from the Brits here about Prince Philip. And he was German. I catch that. He was, I'm trying to back up here to catch that information again because it keeps scrolling through. And it's like, wait for me, you know. His funeral is next Saturday, and it will be televised, at least in Britain. I can imagine we're going to see it here in the U.S. So see if you can find it, because those are always very grand do-ups. And it's a fitting send-off. The grander, the better. It's a fitting send-off. Funerals and weddings, the Brits know how to do it. You know, you gotta give them points where points are due. And here I'm finding from someone that he was from the Greek royal family and a descendant of Queen Victoria. So I think all of the royal family is descended from other parts of the royal family in other European countries, if I remember correctly. They're all related in some close or distant way. I learned that when I started researching parts of my family when, you know, Louis XIV went Marie Antoinette was from France and they wanted to tie. Anyway, it gets to be a pretty much of a mess, you know, and you really shouldn't wonder why some of those people go bonker crazy. Because when you mix your blood in, sometimes it doesn't sit too well. But other times you have absolutely brilliant, fantastic, loving people come out of that. So it doesn't really, I don't think it really holds that just because you're related, things are going to go awry. I don't think that's true. But they are, it seems to me, I'm remembering that all of the royalty in Europe is related to everybody in some way, shape, or fashion. And that's fine. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing myself, because it keeps things on an even keel, so to speak. And they did all of that in the past to make alliances to stave off war. So, you know, can't be all bad. And then we get over here and we deal with our losses the best we can. We don't have normally the big grand funerals unless it's somebody very rich and important, or like the president or the vice president, something like that, you know. And then most of us don't pay any attention anyway, unless it's somebody that we personally cared about for whatever reason, you know. The last presidential funeral I ever watched was JFK, and I was in the fourth grade. Yeah, I was in fourth grade, so, you know, hey. But it just kind of says, you know what? I don't need that sadness in my life. I do that on my own enough. I don't need to feed it. So, yes, and I just saw another comment on the chat group that brings to mind something I did read and didn't get out to you, is that he died 2 months before he turned 100 years old. So, in effect, he was 100 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. In effect. He had a good run. No matter who he was or who he was related to or not related to, getting to 2 months short of 100, that's something really cool, you know? That's a long run, no matter how you look at it. You know, it's just, It's fantastic. But it's all of Britain, Canada, those influenced by Britain or Canada are all in mourning for Prince Philip. And the rest of us are saddened, of course. It's just not quite so personal for us. But it is still sad. So anyway, guys, Shauna, I am so, so sorry for your loss, honey. I hope you get through it relatively unscathed. It'll take a while, but you'll get there. Okay? You've seen worse, girl. You've been through worse. And this will get better. Okay? All right, Jennifer. Time for some fun. Okay? See, whenever I get sad like that, I need fun. I got to do something. So music's right in front of me, people. Music right in front of me. So first I want to say welcome, Ann, and welcome, Sue. I'm glad you are here.
Hello.
Yes, Ty, you've been so quiet. I was wondering if you could hear me, but I know that Anne would have told me if she couldn't. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because I think we all need this today. We just a little buoying up to know that some things in the world are still the way they were, though a lot has changed. And Victoria is here listening. And welcome, girl. I'm more than happy to have you here listening to the show like this. This is not a problem. You are welcome. All right, so what I'm going to do at this point, and I thought of this last night. I don't know why, or maybe I do, and I'm just not saying, but... you all know me. You know me. This song does not say where your mind goes, but your mind goes there anyway. So what a hey. Well, mine does anyway. You guys all know that. This is Elvis doing doing a song. The last time I said it, he said he'd never look at this song the same. I hope not, because it's more fun my way. Ain't no big thing, but it's growing.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
My word.
You're losing interest in me, and it shows. It ain't no big thing, but it's growing. The pain of heartbreak I've just started knowing. Well, it ain't no big thing, but it's growing. Every day the hurt grows bigger than before. What I'll pretend, I don't know this, if I can hold you one day more. You've got the look of someone who's going. You're gonna leave me, and it's showing. A little tear I can feel start to flow. It ain't no big thing, but it's growing.
Every day the hurt grows bigger than before.
showing. A little tear I can feel start to flow. Well, it ain't no big thing, but it's growing. No, it ain't no big thing, but it's growing.
So you see what I mean? It doesn't oh, there's that funky little thing again. It doesn't say what the title says. It says.
That one before. That good.
And of course, my mind goes right to the title stuff first, you know, and then we'll worry about the song content later.
Jenny, Jenny, Jenny.
That's me.
I don't even know what you're referring to. I don't know what
that's
you're
okay, honey.
About.
I ain't explaining it. you
well,
think on
whatever. Okay.
That's okay, honey. You think on. I can't. Not on air. Just think about my brain and how it functions, and think about that title and what it says, and know that the title says something completely different than what the song says to me. Okay. And that's all. You'll get it. You'll get it. And it's really not that important. I just think it's funny.
Well, I think I get it. Okay.
There you go. I knew you would, honey. I knew you would. Okay. Next. Oh, my goodness.
I was about to get off with all the depressing notations that you were referring to earlier, and I thought, I can't take any more of this. This is just too much. And,
exactly.
And now you turned it around, so let's keep laughing.
There you go. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. We've had all the sadness we want for one day. Let's have a little fun. Yeah. And if you could be somewhere and tickle people if they're ticklish and make them laugh, that would be fun, too. Or whatever. Whatever, you know. Hey, okay. John sent me another one that I absolutely, it had me laughing because the video to it is a whole lot of different settings where people are doing a jitterbug. And it's so much fun. I don't know if you all have ever jitterbugged before or not, but not the throwing around and sliding under the bridge and all that stuff kind of jitterbugging. Just the fun dance part of jitterbugging, you know, the dish rag and things like that. It's fun, isn't it? It's just fun. So this is the Lena Rocker, and that's why I was laughing through this whole thing because I was watching all these different people, all ages, in all different places, doing a jitterbug. And you watch the faces around them. People stop and look at them like, what the hey is happening here? And they stand and watch for a while, and you can see smiles forming on their faces, and then they continue on their way. But it was really cool because it made them happy. It made them happy. I love it. So let's listen to the Lena Rockers doing Boogie Woogie Queen.
Keys and play a song. A whole lot of shaking is going on. The joint starts rocking. I can't go wrong. My fanny chick walks through the door, looking so mean. I can't breathe no more. Gotta make a dance. One thing's for sure. You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Geez, I'm glad I'm not 17 anymore. Man, I wouldn't go back there for nothing. That was awful. In my life, 17 was awful. I would never go back there.
I would go back.
19, 20, I'd do that. That'd be fun. Not 17. No. Hey, anyway, let's do some. I'm going to play Sue's request. Yeah. All right. This is Elvis doing Don't Ask Me Why. Just do it, baby. Just do it. Don't ask why. Just do it.
I'll go on loving you. Don't ask me why.
Don't ask me why.
Don't know what else to do. Don't ask me why. How sad my heart. Not the kind of love I dream about, but it's the kind that I can't live without. You're all I'm
question is, if somebody is telling you, here it comes, if somebody is telling you how much they need you and how much they want you, why would you ask them why anyway? I know, it's just a song, I understand that, but it always raises these questions in my strange brain.
Right.
I wouldn't ask why, I'd just say, oh, thank God, honey, give me a hug. I wouldn't be asking him to explain why. That makes no sense. That ruins the whole thing. Don't ask. No, I just plant a big one on him and be happy. There you go.
Just do it and move on.
There you go. There you go. Just let it be. And it'll be great. You start asking questions about it and you ruin it. Come on, computer. I know you can do this. My mouse is having conniption fits. Says, I won't ask you why. I just won't do it. All right, then. Okay, Rolling Stones. This is a song I did not know they did. I just happened to find it. And it's different than all the other songs that you hear all the time. It's not one that you hear all the time. It's called Far Away Eyes.
I was driving home early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the colored radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. Well, I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had an arrangement to meet a girl, but I was kind of late. And I thought by the time I got there, she'd be bound off with the nearest truck driver she could find. So much to my surprise, there she was, sitting in the corner, a little bleary, the worst for wear and tear. With a girl with far away eyes. So I said,
so if you're down on your luck and you can't harmonize,
find a girl
with far away eyes.
And if you're dead right disgusted and life ain't worth the dime, get a girl with far somewhere in Los Angeles. And next week they say my prayer on the radio, and all my dreams have come true. So it did. Next week I got a prayer for the girl. Well, you know what kind of eyes you got. So I tell you,
so if you're down, I know y'all are seeing them beside.
Find a girl
with far away eyes. And if you're dead right, disgusted, and life ain't worth a dime,
get a girl.
Almost a country song by the Rolling Stones. Well, yeah, yeah, that was definitely the Rolling Stones. Ain't nobody sounds like Mick Jagger. Thank God.
What did you say?
You know, Ann?
What did Ann say?
I said that was different. That's for sure.
Yes.
It was. Yes.
Yes. Very different for the Rolling Stones to do something like that. I mean, Rolling Stones is not a country band. That
no.
was definitely a country flavor to that song.
Mm.
And that's cool. Hey, they have proven they can do something else.
Yeah.
They just don't. Okay,
no.
fine. That's a choice. You know, they're going to keep doing what made them the millions of bucks.
Yeah, true.
You got to understand that. Yeah, they can do other things, but they're going to keep doing what made them the money.
Uh-huh.
I get that. I don't necessarily like it, but I get it. I understand. So anyway, Elvis. Elvis. I'm surprised nobody's done a silly little song like that somewhere. Oh, wait, I just did. Okay. This is For the Heart.
Oh, no.
Myself, okay, you got to turn your mic on. Oh, but I got to quit singing if I'm going to turn my mic on. And then it's like, why? And you know, the good answer to that is that my mic is not synced the same as what you hear, and it sounds really strange. If I sing with what I can hear, it's not synced up with what you're hearing. And it sounds bad. So that's why. But anyway, have you ever done that? Oh, I know you have, but I'm going to ask anyway. Have you ever had a dream whatever dream you want to imagine. I'm not pointing in any particular direction. Oh, who am I kidding? Anyway, have you ever had a particular dream that when you wake up, your mind goes through the whole dream, beginning to end, whether it was long, short, or whatever, and then it goes through it again. You go, oh, I want to go back to sleep and dream that again. I want to go. Maybe I can add to it.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that when that happens. But it makes you mad because you can't get back to the dream.
I know. That's the bad. That's why you lay awake and go over it and over it and over it. And then you debate, do you tell that person that you were dreaming about them or not? Sometimes yes, and sometimes no.
Exactly. That's so true.
And sometimes you just do what the song says. I had a dream about you, baby. And you leave it at that. Don't say anything else. And then they're going, well, tell me. No way. That makes it even worse. Or better. Maybe it makes it better. Because you know they're going to guess exactly what the dream was when you won't tell them. They know.
Yes.
You know how they know is because they had that same dream.
Yes.
Might be in a different form and fashion.
And maybe not. You never can tell. That's the good part about not being able to read someone else's mind. That's the good part. Because they can come back and say, well, I just had a dream about you too, baby. And say, you ain't telling me. I ain't telling you. Not happening, girl. Oh, but think of the possibilities that opens up in the playing field. And you know what I mean by playing field, right? The never mind. I got to stop while I'm still alive.
You know, I don't know why that all this talking that you're doing just put this song in my head. How does this go? Silver threads and golden needles? I haven't heard that song with all this.
Silver
song
threads and golden needles cannot mend this heart of mine.
Yeah.
Linda Ronstadt.
Dolly Parton sang it as well, I think.
Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt did it originally. It is Linda Ronstadt's song. I don't care who does it after that. It's Linda Ronstadt's song.
Okay, well, I don't know what made me think of it. With you talking like that, I don't know.
Maybe I need my mouth sewed closed.
Maybe that's it.
Who knows? But at least you're picking silver and gold, girl. At least it's silver
and
gold.
One of those socket things, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Sew me in a sock and hang me from the yard arm. Dunk me in the water and once in a while. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Okay. You know, we need a trucking song.
Oh, yes. Love
yeah,
them.
Just I've got two of them. One was from 2 weeks ago, last week, maybe last week. Yeah, last week. Red Sovine.
Yes.
Phantom 309. You got your Kleenexes? I better check on that first. Phantom 309. Here's Red Sovine.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck. And things didn't work out. I was down on my luck. Got tired of roaming and bumming around. So I started thumbing back east toward my hometown. Made a lot of miles the first 2 days. And I figured I'd be home in a week if my luck held out this way. But the third night I got stranded way out of town. At a cold, lonely crossroads. Rain was pouring down. I was hungry and freezing, done caught a chill, when the lights of a big semi topped the hill. Lord, I sure was glad to hear them air brakes come on, and I climbed in that cab where I knew it'd be warm. At the wheel sat a big man. He weighed about 210. He stuck out his hand and said with a grin, "Big Joe's the name." I told him mine, and he said the name of my rig is Phantom 309. Well, I asked him why he called his rig such a name. He said, "Son, this old Mac can put them all to shame. There ain't a driver or a rig running any line that's seen nothing but taillights from Phantom 309. Well, we rode and talked the better part of the night, when the lights of a truck stop came in sight. He said, "I'm sorry, son, this is as far as you go, 'cause I gotta make a turn just on up the road." Well, he tossed me a dime as he pulled her in low and said, "Have yourself a hot cup on old Big Joe." When Joe and his rig roared out in the night, in nothing flat he was clean out of sight. Well, I went inside and ordered me a cup, told the waiter Big Joe was setting me up. Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. It got deathly quiet, and the waiter's face turned kind of white. "Well, did I say something wrong?" I said with a halfway grin. He said, "No, this happens every now and then. Every driver in here knows Big Joe. But son, let me tell you what happened about 10 years ago. At the crossroads tonight where you flagged him down, there was a busload of kids coming from town. And they were right in the middle when Big Joe topped the hill. It could have been slaughter, but he turned his wheels. Well, Joe lost control, went into a skid, and gave his life to save that bunch of kids. And there at that crossroads was the end of a line for Big Joe and Phantom 309. But every now and then, some hiker will come by, and like you, Big Joe will give him a ride. Here, have another cup, and forget about the dime. Keep it as a souvenir from Big Joe and Phantom 309.
That's a tearjerker. Any way you slice it, that's a tearjerker. You know, when you do, you think about this busload of kids and this big old truck that come around this curve and lost control. You just, and he sacrifices his life so he doesn't kill those kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the stuff that heroes are made of.
Mm-hmm.
That, and that's for true. You know, it's like, wow. You hear songs like that, and you know, those songs come from somewhere, people. They come from somewhere. They're not just plucked out of thin air. You know what I mean? So you got to consider that. You got to consider that. They come from somewhere. Okay. Elvis.
Yes.
I love my Elvis songs. I do. I love this other stuff, too. Don't get me wrong. There's all kinds of music in the world, and most of it is good music. Some of it's really crappy. Some of it's mediocre. But I love my Elvis tunes. I do. And I have to admit, I got a late start on Elvis. I was 13. And it was after that I started watching his movies and stuff like that. So, but it keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. So here we go.
I did too, Jean. Oh, yeah.
But
it was my,
that's not...
my mom that started it in our household. And, you know, I was 96, maybe.
Well, honey, you beat me. I was 13. I mean, it's not that Mama didn't ever play Elvis. Well, she didn't play Elvis, but she'd every once in a while be singing an Elvis song. But I never thought anything about it because, you know, she'd have the radio on or whatever, and she was always singing to some song or other. So I didn't think anything about it. But it wasn't until I was 13 that it actually came to my consciousness when I found that record in the basement. Return to Sender was the first conscious time that I heard Elvis singing.
And, you know, I probably was maybe 12 or 13 before I ever saw a picture of Elvis.
Oh, really? Well, that wasn't the same. I saw pictures of him around and every once in a while watch a movie on TV, but never was never actually conscious of him until I found that record and learned that song. And I didn't even have to consciously learn that song. It just sort of seeped into me.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I heard a lot of Elvis and a lot of Fats Domino and a lot of Patti Page and Doris Day. And I was very, very young and growing. I mean, before I was a teenager.
Well, Doris Day was mostly from
the movies.
There was
always music playing in our house. In the car, in the house. It was always music.
Oh, yeah. There was always music, but it was always country western. It was always, you know, Hank Snow, Ferlin Husky, those Sammy Kaye, all those old, the big band stuff that they would still put on the country western stations. All of that stuff. Roy Rogers. And Porter Wagoner. Hello.
I remember
all that old stuff. Hank Williams, Sr. You know, that's the kind of thing that I grew up hearing all the time until I was about, probably 10, and then I would start hearing my friends' transistor radios playing. And that's how I kind of got my introduction into the pop music of that day, and then I got my transistor radio when I was 12, and that's all I listened to after that. Mama's Country kind of went out the door. I imagine she listened to it while we were at school during the day, but we didn't allow it at night because we commandeered that radio. And it was ours. We had it on during homework and everything, and they never said anything because I got good grades. And, 3.8 is good grades. But anyway, I always had the radio going, always. And when I got in high school, I was in every musical group that they had except for band because I couldn't play an instrument, or else I probably would have done that too. I spent 4 hours of every school day singing in school, you know, that was, 1 hour before school, 1 hour after school, and then 2 hours during school. But, I thought it was a great 2 years, junior and senior year. I thought that was great. I had the best time with that because I got to do music. Then I had a study hall, so I got to sit and read. And, you know, it was fantastic. I didn't spend much time on homework. It was easy for me, which really made my friends mad. But, you know, hey, that's what it is. Exactly. What I've got now is a fun song. It's you guys remember Sound of Music?
Yeah.
Do you remember the song in that I Am 16?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That is a song that this is based on. It's called I'm in Quarantine. So this is a laugh song, and John sent it. He thinks we all need some humor in our day, and he's right.
You wait, little girl, it's a tricky age to be a teenager in. Stay home, little girl, in your gilded cage, ignoring all your urging.
I'm yearning.
You are 16, stuck here in quarantine. People, you're missing link. no more a child. Your hormones are wild. Your social life's on the brink. You are 16, stuck here in quarantine, longing to socialize. No friends allowed unless in the cloud. Imagine seeing them offline. Totally unprepared were you to spend this year inside. Dreams of first dates and parties, you're neglected and confined. You're no longer a shy wallflower. What are you going to do? Get a vaccine right out this quarantine. I must bear with you.
I am 16, stuck here in quarantine. I know I cannot leave. You're very sweet, but I'd like to meet more boys. I'm a girl with needs. I am 16, stuck here in quarantine, wants to show off my clothes, be seen at parties before I'm 40, and wrinkles start to grow. Hormonally impaired am I, my patience wearing thin. Dissatisfied with being online, I miss contact with skin. Get the job done, Moderna and Pfizer, they're going to get us through. With the vaccine, we'll end this quarantine before 2022.
Boy, they stopped that one quick. That's like, okay, bye. And here's another Elvis song. I know you guys just hate me playing this many Elvis songs, but tough it out. Tough it out.
Yes.
It's okay. You'll live. It'll be all right. I'm not going to vaccinate you against it, so that's okay.
No.
So glad you're mine.
My baby's long and tall, shaped like a cannonball. So every time she loves me, Lord, you can hear me squall. She cried, ooh. I believe I changed my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I cried, I'm so glad you're mine. My baby knows just how to treat me right. Gives me plenty love in morning, noon, and night. She cried, ooh-wee. I believe I changed my mind. I'm so glad I'm living. I cried, I'm so glad you're mine. Kisses me, I get high every time she cried, ooh-wee. I believe I changed my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I cried, I'm so glad
I had to do it. I never go a whole show without having to put an ending on a song.
Sure.
That one needs it. That one needed an ending. That's just how it was. Okay, honey, it's mid-show. So I'm going to do what has become a favorite at this point. I'm going to play good old Anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. And this is a song called Thinking About You.
Woke up this morning and I tried to call you, but you weren't there and I put me in despair. So I thought maybe I could lose my mind in the countryside. So I went for a ride, but I'll never stop thinking about you. Found myself wishing you were there, just to be with me. Feel the breeze, sun didn't smile, I didn't care. I decided to try just one more time, let you know I really love you so. For I saw you go away with another guy. A tear filled my eye, but I'll never stop thinking about you. Found myself wishing you were there.
Song for today, and yeah, guys, he used to do shows, so don't know if he'll ever do them again, but that's okay. He loves doing it because he loves Elvis, so that's a really good reason to do it. You know what I mean? It's a really good reason to do it. Okay, and I love listening to him, too, because he's got such a, it's a smooth voice, just like Elvis has, you know, very smooth. I like that.
Was he performing somewhere?
He used to, a little bit, yeah. He used to do some shows. And I can't say where, because then you're going to start trying to figure out who he is, and I'm not going to let that happen, because I promised. So I'm sure that the day will come that he will feel confident enough to let you know
when it's right.
Who, where, what, and why. But it's got to be right for him. Because
he's in a hurry. Let's do it.
I know you're in a hurry, girl. I know you're in a hurry, but that's not how it happens.
Well, darn.
Oh, I love you, Sue. You're funny. I love it. It'll get there. This is called slow and steady, okay?
Well,
like the tortoise against the hare.
I want to know when, where, and things now. So,
and you want to know right now. Right now.
I hope I get an invitation. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not making any comments, guesses, yeses or nos, because it's his ball. He can take it home anytime he wants to. It's his toys. So,
well, don't bounce it too damn long.
But he's good.
Yes,
I want him to do something with it. I've been trying to talk him into it, but it's up to him. I can't do a push or anything, or it's just not going to happen at all. So we don't want that.
Yeah,
we don't want that. So you know what? I'm going to play one that I picked out. Aretha Franklin from 1968. Sink. And she did this song in the movie The Blues Brothers. And I could have got that and dubbed it in, but it would have had all that cafe gobbledygook around it,
yeah.
You know, and I'd just rather have the song. And I love the movie. I've watched the movie like a dozen times, but I didn't want all that extra stuff around it. I just wanted the song. So here's the song, Sink, Aretha Franklin, 1968. That I've heard yet, anyway. It's amazing. She is she was fantastic. I think she's another one whose recordings are going to stay fresh, and they're going to stay around and be played for a very, very long time. It's hard to let her go. She was so good. You know what I mean? You just can't let her go. Mm-hmm. So we won't. It's her fault. Mm-hmm. She did it. see, that's the whole thing, you see, that's just it. That's it. There's no bottom line. That is the bottom line. That's all there is. It's her fault.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So is it the Rolling Stones' fault that we still have them around and play their music all the time? Not my fault. No way. I ain't taking that blame for that one. Okay. Elvis sent me another song, and well, it's more than a song. It's more than a song because it's the August 5th, 1972 rehearsal for 20 days and 20 nights. Thank you, John.
Keep going. 20 days, 20 nights. That's how long we're gonna be here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I was late. No, wait. To count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right flank, up. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. I left my wife with a guy named Bill. He can't find me. I'm crying out the world for signs. Signs that it's not paradise. It's a lonely world. For 20 days and 20 nights I've been a fool, and that ain't right. Without her, not another strange to me. I can't make it, for it's not like it ought to be, and I can't take it. I've been a fool, and that ain't right without her. One day soon I'm going back. Will she still find me? I've been out of line and off the track, but that's behind me. I fooled around and did well, but I just couldn't ring the bell without her. No, now for 20 days and 20 nights I've been a fool.
Wait a minute, hold it.
It's taken 20 days and 20 nights to prove me wrong and make her right. All along. It's taken 20 days and 20 nights to prove me wrong and make her right. 20 days and 20 nights, I was wrong and she was right. All alone. And I miss her.
matters. Oh, how it matters. Oh, how it matters.
Watch him. The ending is... We'll do it like four times. And I miss her. Oh, I miss her. Oh, I miss her. Oh, how I miss her.
There you go, rehearsal. I love it.
Mm.
And even though it wasn't a new song, they were still working on it. Mm. They still had to smooth it out. You know, that is really pretty cool. That's really pretty cool. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I have so many songs to go. Oh, Victoria's Request. We need to do Victoria's Request. Because this is... cool. I like this song. I have this CD and I had it in my car probably for months, playing it to and from work when I lived 20 miles away. You know, it got me there and back. Got me there and back. I didn't have any Elvis CDs yet. Oh, you know how hard that is to admit? Oh my gosh, that one hurts. I swear to God that hurts. Anyway, here's ZZ Top doing Legs. Thanks, Victoria.
Gee, I'm sorry.
That's okay, anytime.
Oh.
What's this?
Why, what's this?
You got something over here.
Oh, my. Oh.
Excuse me.
All right, there we go. ZZ Top with Legs. And they had quite a few other big hits, actually. I mean, they've been in the biz for over 35 years, 40 years now, about that. But, you know, Cheap Sunglasses, Tush. You know, there's a whole lot of other ones that they've had out that they had big hits with. So Legs was not the biggest. I think I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, people, but without looking it up, I think it was Cheap Sunglasses. But they were sort of like in tandem in a time frame. So that's okay. They had a lot of records that hit the charts.
Well,
so it's, yeah, it's, if you just look up, Google them, and you'll see a lot of their songs listed there. I've got one now that I'm going to play two different versions of, if my computer will stop moving them out of my vision. Here we go. John sent me Slim Whitman doing The Old Lamplighter. And that was, he did that in 1960. And so I looked up the original version, which was from 1946. But I'm going to play Slim Whitman's version first, because we're all familiar with his voice and style. And then the 1946 version was Sammy Kaye, and that was the big band era. So, but it's really close to the same. Sammy Kaye is just a little bit smoother because of when it was done. So here's Slim Whitman doing The Old Lamplighter.
He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath a candle glow. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. You'll hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass the lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memory. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago.
Okay. That was Slim Whitman. The gentleman whose voice always surprises me, because he's a tenor, and from his size, you'd think he was a baritone. But okay, that's fine. He's just got shorter vocal cords. No biggie. This is Sammy Kaye from 1946 with the same song.
made the night a little brighter. Wherever he would go,
he would go,
the old
lamplighter
of long, long ago. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath the candle glow,
candle glow.
You'd hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memory. He made the night a little brighter. Wherever he would go,
he would go,
the old lamplighter of long, long ago. Made the night a little brighter. Wherever he would go,
he would go,
the old lamplighter of long, long ago. Now if you look up at the sky, you'll understand the reason why the little stars at night are all aglow. He turns them on when night is here. He turns them off when dawn is near. The little man we loved of long ago.
Isn't that cool? Very mellow, low-key, big band era.
I've never heard of it.
Sammy Kay?
Yeah,
you've never heard of Sammy? Oh, wow. Cool. All right. Cool. Hmm. Well, now you have.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all about being exposed to new music. Because you can be surprised at what you like. You can be surprised at what you like. So there you go with that one. That is really cool. All right. I did that. I wanted so much to do that, to expose the different styles to you guys. And even though one was from 1960 and one was from 1946, they really weren't that different, all to be told. So I really like those. I really like those. So now you've been exposed to 1946. You may be hearing more 1946 music. It wasn't called rock and roll back then, so, you know, we won't call it rock and roll here. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's see. 20 minutes. Okay. This is hard because I have about 5 more songs to play, maybe 6. Okay. Well, just... Pick one, Jenny. Pick one. If John sent it, just play it. It's fine. Okay. How about the August 7th, 1972 stage rehearsal of Words?
Everybody got Words up? A song called Words? Huh? There's no arrangement on it? Glenn, could you write us one up between now and a week from next October? Okay. Well, sing the song. Smile, an everlasting smile, a smile could bring you near to me. Don't ever let me find you gone, 'cause that could bring a tear to me. This world has lost its glory, let's start a brand new story now, my love. Right now, there'll be no other time, and I can show you all my love. Talk in everlasting words and dedicate them all to me. And I will give you all my love, it's here if you should call to me. You think that I don't even mean a single word I say. It's only words, and words are all I have. Steal your heart away. Play the song. Steal your heart away. It's only words, and words are all I have to steal your heart away. Sing a song. It's only words, and words are all I have to steal your heart away.
Love that song, because you know, think about it, bottom line, words are all we ever really have.
That's true.
Even after we meet someone, we spend some time with them and we like what we're looking at, okay, bottom line is still the words, because you can blow it with just a few words. It's words. So that actually is a very, very appropriate song. You know, when you stop and think about it, and that's one of my problems, I think about things. But I think you guys can deal with it. You've dealt with it this long. I think you'll be okay. Oh, yeah. Bottom line, it's always the words. I mean, when you talk to somebody on the telephone or say you chat with them online,
yeah.
What is it until you get to the point of exchanging photographs or actually meeting someone in a public place, of course? What is it that gets you to that point? Mm-hmm. Words. Talking to each other.
That's really
exchanging true. Exchanging the ideas through talking to each other, exchanging feelings through talking with each other. It's always your words.
You know that happened to me with the guy that I'm seeing now. We go
got to know each other on the phone and texting only. He's not on Facebook. But just being on the phone and texting, we got to know each other that way. And it was really great. And then when we first met, you know, it was exciting that way because it was like I had known him for so long.
Exactly. Because you had.
Very comfortable.
Yes. And when you're talking with someone like that, online and on the phone, you get to know who they really are without letting how they look get in the way.
Exactly.
You know,
and then
by the time...
look anyway, it's what's inside.
Exactly. And that's why I think talking to a person for maybe a long time before you actually get to meet them and touch them, it's a very good thing, because by the time that meeting takes place, if you have gotten that far, you're already in love. And you don't,
yeah,
at that point, you don't care what they look like because you know who they are.
Right. Well, love in different ways, you know. Jenny, no one would ever replace Tom, the husband I lost to, that died. But there's different types of love. And it would he could never replace what I once had, and I know that.
Oh, exactly.
And he probably knows that too. But
exactly.
Anyway, it is what it is, and it's comfortable, and it's enjoyable, and, you know, anyway.
Just let it be, girl. Just let it be.
I just saw what Pat posted.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, after this length of time, it's been almost a year now. I don't think so.
Well, I gotta see this.
You need to.
Okay, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Yeah, you gotta watch out for those axe murderers. You gotta be careful of that, you know.
Well, you never know, you know. They say you really never know anyone. I guess they could turn on me. I hope not.
But you know what? If you even met me the old-fashioned way, like you bumped into somebody in the grocery or in line at the movies or however people used to meet each other, God forbid the bar. But my mom got in trouble twice in the bar, married two bummers. Anyway, we're not talking about that. But anyway, even if you meet somebody in the conventional old-fashioned way, there's no guarantees of who they are going to turn out to be when you get to know them better.
True.
You see
true.
On these crime shows on TV all the time. People met at church. Okay? I remember one story started at church. And it went for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. They had one or two kids. I forget exactly that, but he killed her because she had a lot of money. And he figured it'd been a long enough time he could get away with it and have her money. So he turned out to be a not-so-savory character, and they met at church. So there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees.
Well, no. Well, he's not dating me for my money because it's not there. So.
Yeah, there isn't any, right? Yeah, exactly.
No.
And that's how I like it. It would be so uncertain if one of the persons had a whole lot of money and then someone else came in and pretended or would say that they loved them. How could the person with the money ever be certain that it was them they loved or the money?
Yeah,
that's true. That's very true.
There will always be that uncertainty. So, yeah, there's a certain security in not having a whole lot of money.
You know, I think I'm beyond that at my age now. It's not important.
Exactly. Well, it never was important to me. It never was important to me because money can buy things, but it can't buy, like the Beatles song, "Can't Buy Me Love."
Well, that's true too. You can't buy that. But I never dated anyone for their money ever.
I never really dated anyone. I've never really dated anyone yet. So, yeah, I got married, but, hey, you know, I met the dude when I was 14. He was 15. We just started going around together. He never took me on dates. He didn't take me out to dinner until my 17th birthday, and by then I'd had a 105-degree temperature, and I was sicker than a dog. So, you know, I guess you could class that as a date, but we were with his brother and his wife, so how much did that count? I went home and went to bed afterwards. I was sick. So, but if you count regular dates of I'll pick you up at 7, we'll go to the movie, we'll go have a soda and a hamburger, and I'll take you. You could talk about stuff like, or we'll go park somewhere for a while, whatever. You talk about that kind of date? I never did that. I never had that.
No, I haven't.
So, you know, in my life, I don't know if I ever will. I don't know if I ever will have it. And you know what? If I don't, I'm okay with that. If I do, I'm okay with that. I'm just not, I'm not really expecting anything anymore. You know what I mean? I've reached that point. And it's just as easy if the guy isn't rich. Probably easier. Because then he won't have to wonder. If I like him, he won't have to wonder why. Because it won't be the money.
Well, you know, after I divorced my first husband, I dated quite a bit, enjoyed it, and just had a lot of fun. I just had fun, and I deserved it after being with him.
Yeah.
I earned it.
There you go.
But I was just having a good time and wasn't thinking about money. I had my own income and just never was dependent on someone. Except
exactly.
My first husband. You know, because I had not worked ever when he and I married. And I had my first child.
That's how it was. I never had any children. I have a son, but he's adopted. And, but I, like I say, I met my husband. I've only been married once, but I met my husband when I was 14. He was 15, and we just started going around together and stayed together for 40 years. And now I'm going, why did I do that?
Exactly.
Why did I do that?
I stayed in mine 13 years, and that was too damn long. But
yeah, there you go.
You know what? I was trapped. You know, I was trapped at not having the education that I got later in life. My mother stepped in, and they had a huge construction company. My dad was one of the first inventors of tilt wall buildings, if you know what that is. And anyway, after my mother realized and I was so unhappy, she stepped in and made me an offer that was stuck in my head for a few months before I finally made a decision. But she knew how miserable I was and how miserable he was making my life. And so she made me an offer that, she said, I'm not pushing you into anything, but I want you to know that I am your mother, and I'm not going to stand by and watch my daughter be beat on like this. So I want you to know
I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, well, she said that you're automatically on a payroll. All I want you to do is come over on Thursday, make out the payroll for the company, and they had about 40 employees at the time. And Robert and I have talked about it, which was my stepfather. And we want you to stay home and take care of your kids, but just come over here on Thursday. And so I was automatically on the payroll once I finally decided to file for divorce. So she pulled me out of it. And then after that is when I went on and had a good time for a while. And then I went to real estate school a little bit later and became my own person then.
Yeah. Well, I just, being with him since I was 14, I just grew out of him. I changed. I grew. I matured. He didn't. He stayed the same pretty much, except for one pension that he developed. But anyway, it just got to the point where all those years he had been my security. He had been my window on the world, so to speak. And... after that long, after 30 years, I didn't need him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'd grown up. I didn't need him anymore. So it just kind of fell apart from there through a couple of things that he was doing. And it was just, I don't need this anymore. I don't need this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he started doing a verbal beat and stuff every day, making me cry. And he... I laugh about it now because it's so funny. I laughed then, too, and that's probably what made him so mad. But he never hit me. You know, he never did that. He never did. But one day he handed me a paper and pen. I wouldn't take it. He tried to say, I want you to make a list of everything you tried to do to fix this situation. And I looked at him, and I said, no. He just kind of backed me. He says, what? Because I'd never told him no on anything. I'd never told him no before. And he says, I says, I'm not doing that. He says, if I do that, all that's going to do is make you more angry and give you more ammunition to beat on me with your words and hurt me more. I'm not doing it. And he goes, well, then I'm tired of this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this anymore. You need to leave. He expected me to whine and cry and beg to stay and all this. I looked at him. I said, okay.
Yeah.
The day I started packing up looking for a place to go, in 2 weeks I was gone. So, you know, it was just like, it was time. It was time. And it didn't hurt. It was time. So, but I still laugh about that. After all these years, I still laugh about that.
I don't laugh about that.
And it's kind of like,
he said earlier
Lord,
in the show, you would not
like,
go back to 17. I would, because I would never... go where I was at 17. No, I'd never repeat that.
I wouldn't go back. You know what? If I had to go back to avoid what I went through for that 30 years, I'd have to go back to being 12.
I
won't go back to 12 either, because there were things that happened to me at 12 that I would never, ever want to relive or figure out a way to deal with. There's no place in my life that I would go back to. Unless I would go back and end my marriage sooner.
Well, I would go back to 17 and delete that part of my life, believe me. Ooh.
Yeah, delete it all. Well, you know, that's just how it goes. But I love being able, because I was so much under his thumb for so many years, I didn't have the confidence in myself to stand up to him. I just let him beat on me verbally whenever he wanted to, but he never touched me. But, I was so insecure.
I was
so insecure my whole life that it took me that long to grow up and mature to be able to stand up for myself and to do it in an effective way. And what it took was one simple two-letter word, no. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how effective that can be in the right place. You know, just no. And it was done. At that point, it was done. And, I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. I don't really care. It's fine. He wouldn't even speak a civil word to me after the divorce, and that's fine, too. I'm happy. I'm better off. And life
can do what it wants to do. I still have fear about mine because of my children. And I don't like hearing about him. I do not. But it's just part of it, you know.
My son is 38 years old, has 3 children of his own. They're beautiful children. They're doing a fabulous job raising them. But my daughter-in-law got mad at me over something really stupid that she says I said and believe and I don't say. I never said it, and I don't believe it. And so they don't talk to me anymore. And it's like, okay, fine, whatever. That's your decision. I don't have to have that extra shoring up anymore. It's okay.
No, you don't need it. But listen, you've only got 2 minutes for you to get off.
I got 2 minutes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for the discussion. That was very enlightening. Thank you for joining me today, because this was really fun. I had a whole lot of fun today. This was fantastic. And hey, thank you, Anonymous John, for sending us songs. I think that is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, definitely.
I still have,
I still have three of them.
Mm-hmm. I still have 3 of them, and I will ask him for more when we have played those 3.
Are we going to have a gospel one coming tomorrow?
He said he would, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to it in time, because weekends is his family time, and he may not have time. He may just not have time.
Okay.
So that's okay. All right. If I get it, I'll play it. If I don't, we won't worry about it. Happens, things with his family, and that's okay. I understand that. I'd rather he do that than to take time away from his family to give us a song. So that's okay. We've got no problems with that. Anyway, now it's time to tell you tomorrow is gospel show. Everybody join me at the same time. Click the link. Go right to it. Have a great time. Got my mojo working. It's going to get us out of this.
Enjoy it, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Don't take much to spark you guys off, man. A couple of words and you're off and running, man. Okay.
I got my mojo working, buddy. Just a word on you. I got my mojo working, buddy. Just a word on you. Well, I'm young, no matter what you do. Oh, she's long, lady, lanky, sweet as she can be. Hands off of her, she belongs to me. Don't belong to you. Well, she's mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Play one, play one. I got my mojo working, buddy. Just don't work on you. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. But you mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Let me say it now. She's lonely and lanky, sweet as she can be. Hands off of her, she belongs to me. Hands off of her, don't belong to you. Well, she's mine, all mine, no matter what you do. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Wait, wait, wait. Unless you want to deal with me, I got my mojo working, but just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Yeah, I got my mojo working. I got my mojo working. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. You're lonely, lady, sweet as she can be. You belong to me, and my mojo working just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. More time. Just don't.
Yeah, right.
Let's go, little one.
Want to hear it back? Yeah.